T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, let's go to Washington, everyone. Dom Giordano program. Back with us is Seema Verna. She is the head person. She heads up the Secretary for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. She's the administrator for that. And that's much in the news. A lot to talk about there, given the nursing home situation, given all the stuff that's going on with ventilators, et cetera. Seema Verna joins us here in Philadelphia. Seema, thank you very much for taking time out to join us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, since you've been on a lot with us, I see you every time up there on the podium in the middle of this. And maybe you can give listeners a sense of why someone that is involved in what you are administrating this is such a key person. You're right up there with Mike Pence, Dr. Birx, Dr. Fauci. How has this crisis impacted what you administer every day?
Sure. So the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services not only operates the Medicare program, Medicaid, and the individual exchanges, but we also have oversight of every healthcare institution in America. We set the safety and quality standards. That's why we've been particularly focused on nursing homes, because we regulate them. We put out safety, quality requirements, guidelines, and then we do inspections not only at nursing homes, but pretty much every facility, healthcare facility in the United States.
So what's being talked about? Montgomery County, I just saw the stats today from the Pennsylvania website, 73% of the cases there were related to nursing homes. What's talked about in a broad sense, and I wonder if inside the meetings you've addressed this, is we have to do a better job of isolating those who are vulnerable, particularly as you go up the age scale, and or in nursing homes, as we unleash the economy and start to move more back to normal. That's the critical feature. That's where we should place our chips to cut down on exposure.
That's exactly it. I mean, the nursing homes have been ground zero for the coronavirus infections, especially in this country. And if you think about it, they are home to vulnerable citizens. I mean, these are usually elderly individuals that have underlying health conditions, which we all know were some of the folks that were the most vulnerable to this. So we start with that. And then in the way that they're situated, you know, with other residents, they're in close proximity. So it that type of situation is the perfect breeding ground for the coronavirus and something like this. So, you know, we have from the very beginning provided some strong guidance recommendations to nursing homes around making sure that they have policies and procedures in place to screen visitors coming in. You know, one of the things that we said very early on is that we should not have visitors coming in. And that was a very painful decision, because we know that, you know, the residents really appreciate that, their family members appreciate that. But obviously our focus was on the health and safety of the patients. We've also put out a call to action. I mean, this is really something that state and local leaders need to focus on. Nursing homes are vulnerable. They have to have a plan in place to make sure that testing is available inside the nursing home. One of the things that we've done at the federal level is increase the reimbursement for testing. And we've also told labs, hey, you can go out to a nursing home and collect the samples and we'll pay you for that. That's a very important component to this. And then once they test, and it's not only testing the residents, but it's also testing the healthcare workers, because in many cases, they could be bringing in the infection into the nursing home, and it's actually the healthcare workers. So testing means not only the patients, but also the healthcare workers. And then they need to have a plan in place around isolation. And this is not, this isn't something new. These types of procedures around infection control are longstanding. But what we've been doing now is giving those nursing homes more flexibility. So in some cases, Massachusetts, for example, has taken advantage of the flexibility that we've given them, and they've actually set up COVID nursing homes. So if they've got positive patients, they're putting them together, and that way you've got more significant isolation. So that's one of the things that we've seen some nursing homes or some states do. Maryland's done a great job with this as well. They've actually set up strike teams. So they put together a team of medical professionals, and if they know there may be a potential outbreak, they go out to the nursing home. They make sure that they have the medical personnel. But the important steps are testing, making sure you have isolation, and making sure that that nursing home has the appropriate staff in place, and that they're doing everything that they need to do to control infection inside the nursing home.
Well, today in Washington, we're told it seemed to be, and you know, nobody knows exactly until the president, until the decision is released, but there does appear to be a ratcheting up that we're going to try to get back to normal, reopen, relaxation of the social distancing in some sense. Do you think that's the trend? That's where we're headed?
Absolutely, that's where we're headed. I mean, we've seen some signs where there's many places across the country where they haven't seen any infections. They've actually done testing and they haven't seen any infections. You're seeing lots of areas across the country that are really flattened the curve. The American people have done a great job of implementing 30 days to slow the spread, and that hard work is paying off. And so I think it's the right time to start talking about what do we need to have in place to start reopening the country. You know, one area in particular is our healthcare services. You know, we've asked healthcare providers across the country, you know, don't perform optional surgeries, don't perform medical procedures, but, you know, you can only hold off on some of that stuff for so long. And so one of the things that the president's has the task force focused on is, you know, what are those things that we need to do to reopen, and making sure that there's guidelines and recommendations for state and local communities, that they have those so that they can make the decisions that work best for their communities.
Now, you, this is a tough question, and if there is no answer, there is no answer. But here in Pennsylvania, we're in the center of just an ungodly shutdown. You just mentioned elective surgery. Everything is going on here. In the task force, is there a sense, how do we deal with this? The president is obviously moving incrementally and with great medical advice toward reopening the country, May 1st, talking about that. And yet we're seeing increasing restrictions even when the evidence gets better here. Inside the task force, is there any thought about what we do to persuade or do any, is there any leverage toward opening up where my listeners are in Delaware, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey?
I mean, I think that, you know, from the task force perspective, and I think the president focuses on making sure that we're protecting the health and the safety of the American people. That is number one. That being said, I think that state and local communities need some guidance, need to have some more information about what they, if they are going to reopen, what do they need to have in place? I'll give you an example. You know, we need to make sure that we have a great surveillance system in place. So when we do have cases, because the coronavirus isn't going to go away, it's not going to disappear. We're always going to have some level of the coronavirus in our communities. But the important thing is that when we have a case, to identify that person, to test them, to do the contact tracing so we can understand who they've come in contact with, who they may have infected, isolate those people and control it. So that's sort of the strategy around surveillance. We also have to make sure that the healthcare system can handle a surge. I think that's been one of the reasons why we've had such strong recommendations and why we've had to close down, was because if we had an uncontrollable number of cases, the healthcare system couldn't handle that. So we have to make sure that our healthcare systems have the ability to handle a surge. those are some of the types of things that we're looking at that every local community has to have in place before they can reopen. And that's why the president wants us to focus on giving those recommendations, giving those guidelines, so that state and local communities are not acting in fear and that they can make good decisions and reopen the economy.
All righty. Well, thank you. Thanks very much. And good luck. We'll be watching you today and in future days. Please come back to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.